Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe that today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be part of. We hope to see you this Sunday morning here at City Life.
You know what? Today we're wrapping up our series on money. Now, if you are here for the first time or you brought a guest, don't freak out. We are not going to pressure, coerce, or manipulate you into giving. But we're talking about money because it's an important topic that actually affects all of us. That's why we talk about money in church, because it's one subject that affects every single human being. Even if you were like a one minute old baby, money was involved in bringing you into the world. Aren't you glad your parents had gas to get you into the, in their tank to get you to the hospital, or the surgeon was paid? Money involves, it touches all of us. So whether you're a money person or not, you're like, I don't need money. You need money. We live in Alberta. You don't want to be a street person when it's minus 30 below. You want heat. You know, we talk about money because money is actually a tool that many, if not most humans, we don't know how to use it right. Isn't this true? I have two words for you. National debt. True? Come on. How about another two words? Consumer debt. You know, the average Canadian carries $22,000 worth of debt, and that's not mortgage. That's just like consumer debt. But all the other problems that go along with money, things like poverty, things like violence, things like human trafficking, there's a lot of things. We just don't know how to use it. Hello? It's true. And I think one of the reasons why God actually talked a lot about money and possessions in Scripture. In fact, money and possessions is the second most talked about subject in Scripture. Even Forbes magazine, the business magazine, made that observation. They said money and possessions, the number two talked about subject in Scripture. You know how many times God addresses the issue, the topic of money and possessions in Scripture? 2,300 times. Do you know how many times God talks about prayer in Scripture? 295. Isn't that funny? I think it's funny. So I think, why does God talk about money so much? Well, he knows money and possessions are the number one thing competing for our heart. And so I think one of the biggest reasons why we talk about this subject in church is because if we stay silent on any subject, we give license or permission to our culture to define that subject for us in our thinking. I don't know about you, but I don't want a selfish, consumeristic culture defining my thinking about money. You know what? It probably does. You know, this message is this today is this is this. There were some, I really want to, I hope you can lean in and not shut off and think, when can I leave? Because, you know, and actually, you know, if you want to leave right now, you can. We'll just tell everybody you went to the bathroom. And you can just say, I just need to go to the bathroom, and you don't have to come back in if you don't want to talk about money. But you know what? I really believe that we, you know, if we can get a hold of this, and I'm preaching as much to myself because there's some things I'm going to share with you today that are a whole new perspective on this topic that I hope will actually be aha for you as it was an aha for me. But you know, we want God's kingdom culture to define our thinking and to define what we think about money and possessions. Why? Because that God's kingdom is a life-giving kingdom. And if God's life-giving ideas about money and possessions and finance and all of this, if that can begin to define our thinking, man, imagine what a difference we can make in the world. Money is a tool. It's neutral. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's simply a tool. And I think too long, though, for centuries, a lot of the church, there was a misunderstanding, a misbelief that poverty equaled godliness. Or other thinking of money is the root of all evil. Actually, that's not. That's misquoting Scripture. But there's this mindset that's been in the church that there is, don't talk about money and possessions. It's, you know, you want to be poor, you want to be poor. How can you make a difference if you're poor? How come you help somebody if you're always needing something? And you know what? I really believe that as God's people, if we can properly learn how to use this tool called money, we will better be able to reflect the character of God into our world. We'll be able to bring God's creativity, God's wisdom, God's provision into his creation to heal it, to make what's not working work right. Because it takes money to make a difference. Even if you don't like that, it's true. Just try telling Epcor or whoever else you pay power. It's like, oh, I don't believe in money. You will be freezing your patush off in the matter of a few days because you won't have power. But today, we're talking about living in God's abundance. You and I were made for God's abundance. In fact, God wants to unlock his abundance in and through our lives so it can get through us to heal the world and make what's wrong right. However, there's a glitch. God made us for abundance. God wants to unlock his abundance through us, but there's a glitch. And this is what I want to explain. And I want you to lean, I want you to listen, and I want you to not hear what I'm not saying, but I want you to hear and follow, because these are some fresh new things and some things that I feel like God just turned the spotlight on and said, I need you to get this. I need you to understand this in a way you haven't understood before. I believe there is a natural wiring in us as humans to want more. Now, even if you're a minimalist or have minimalist tendencies, you want more. Maybe not more stuff, but you want more space. You want more breathing room. Some of you want more freedom. So there's this thing of more that's in every single one of us. And I actually don't think the desire for more is wrong. Why? Because we've been created in the image of an incredible God of abundance, a God of more than enough. That's whose image we have been made in. You know, a 1 pound snowball, you know how many snowflakes are in a 1 pound snowball? 22,400. I didn't count them. I Googled it. So hopefully it's right. Some of them, I just kind of took the average because there were a lot more than that. Well, 22,000 is still a lot. Guess what's so amazing about 22,400 snowflakes? Not a single flipping one of them is alike. Like, why? Like, God could have made, like, snowflakes like circles. They all look the same. We would have never known. But he made every single one of the kabillion. Like Google, whatever that number is, you know, I don't know how many, is Google 27 zeros or something, I don't know. Google snowflakes, because we live in Canada, they're all flipping different. Why? God is a God of abundance. Color. You know, we just need to look at Christian. Think about color. There's no purpose for color. Why did God make color? What's the purpose of color? Just so we could not stop and run through stop signs or whatever? Maybe, I don't know. But color. God made color for beauty. There's no real purpose for color. How about taste? Think about taste. God could have just made everything one flavor, but he gave us five different types of tasting. He gave us things that taste good, like steak that's been barbecued and it's kind of crispy on the outside and juicy on the inside. He gave us taste buds to taste salty things like truffle fries or hot wings. Some of you, if I just say pickles, those taste buds just went spring. You know, cinnamon buns from whatever. They're not open on Sundays anymore, so I can't send you over there. But cinnamon buns, prestigio, all of these flavors. Why do things taste? God is a God of abundance. You know how many plant species there are in the world? Over 250,000 species of plants. Why? Because God is a God of abundance. You know how many beetle species there are? Over 350,000 species of beetle. Why? Like one would have been more than enough. Galaxies. They estimate on a low number, there are over 100 billion, up to 200 billion, and that's only because that's as far as our telescope and those things that fly out there in the universe. That's as far as they go, 100 to 200 billion galaxies. Why? We can only get to the moon. God is a God of abundance. I need you to say that so you can believe it. God is a God of abundance. God's original words to the first two humans were abundance words. His instructions to Adam and Eve in the garden were, be fruitful. Abundance word. Multiply. Abundance word. Fill. That's abundance. Fill the earth and subdue it. He said, I'm giving you the entire species of plants and trees. That's abundance again. The entire earth. I'm giving to you entire. All of these. Look at these. Every. Entire. Multiply. Fruitful. Fill. Those are abundance words. God is an extravagant, excessive God. And this is what Jesus came to reveal when he was on the earth. He came to reveal what God was really like. And this is what Jesus revealed when he said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. You know what? He could have stopped and said, I have come to give you life. And you know what? That would have been amazing news for people, for creation, for our entire world that was broken and was dying in sin. We were dead in our sins. But Jesus, he didn't come and just say, I've come to give you life. He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I love what the Amplified says. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it to the full till it overflows. That is what Jesus came to reveal. And so this wiring, this desire for abundance, for more, it's not wrong. Now, this is where I just need to say, just so you don't hear what I'm not saying, because some of you might be thinking, so you mean my insatiable desire for more shoes? Or more clothes? Or more cars? Or more guns? Or more motorized toys? This isn't wrong? I don't think the desire is wrong. I don't think the desire for more or abundance is wrong. I just think it's broken. And because the wiring in us for more is broken, we mistake accumulation for abundance that God wants to give. Accumulation and abundance are two very different things. God wired you for abundance. He wired us to desire, to live in, to take pleasure in the abundance that he would give us. That's how God originally designed humanity to function, except when the first two humans chose self over God, they broke the human capacity to handle abundance and turned it into the desire for accumulation. So accumulation, that desire for just more, it's a broken thing in human beings. See, there's a difference between accumulation and abundance. Accumulation, more stuff, is about me. It's for security, just in case. Gotta have enough. It's for comfort to fill a hole. Maybe it's for distraction. I don't want to think about the mess of my life, so I'm going to go out and get this and get this. It's distraction from, I don't like the pain in my heart, so I'm going to fill it with this. I don't like my life. My life is boring because I'm not living on purpose. So I'll just go out and fill it with this and with that and with this and with that. And you know, I just want to stop for a minute because accumulation isn't just about possessions and money. Sometimes we accumulate other things in life. And see, the difference between accumulation, more stuff for me, abundance, is to honor God and help others. And too often we settle for stuff when God wants to release his abundance to and through our lives. See, it's not our stuff that's the problem. It's how we hold our stuff, what we do with it, how we use it. That's where the problem comes in. And see, this is where Jesus comes in, because Jesus was the one that shows us, or showed us, how to hold stuff in a right way, especially when the stuff we're holding, we're looking at and going, that ain't enough. And our tendency would be to mine, hold on to it. So we're going to look at one of the greatest abundant stories as seen in Jesus' life. And it's one of his most famous miracles. Even if you didn't grow up in church, you probably are familiar with this story in some way, shape, or form. Maybe Sunday school, maybe somewhere else. But it's a story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Anybody familiar with that story? Now, one of the things you might not know is that in scripture, when they wrote numbers down, there were 4,000 in the crowd, there were 5,000, there were 600. Those numbers, most times, it represented only the men. They didn't count women and children. So a lot of scholars agree that the actual number of people who were fed at this event was closer to between anywhere from 10 on a low end up to 20,000 people in one city. That's a lot of people! That's like 2/3 of the whole flipping population of Leduc. Can you imagine feeding them all in one setting? All on the same day? All at the same time? That is a buttload of people. That's a lot of mouths to feed. And so in Mark 6:35 is where we're going to start. But what had happened? Jesus and the disciples, they had been out all day. Jesus had been teaching this crowd of people. And it's starting to get dark and coming towards supper time. And the disciples come to Jesus. And they're like, Jesus, there's a lot of people here. You better send them into the village so they can all buy their food. And so that they won't be hungry. And Jesus turns around. He's like, you feed them. And they're like, what the heck? He's like, we can't feed them. It would cost us. We don't have any money to feed them. Several months' wages just to have enough money to buy food for all these people. We don't have that. And Jesus is like, well, what do you have? Go find out. And so they go roaming through the crowd and they come back. And one of them is like, yeah, we got a little boy's lunch. It's got like 5 loaves and 2 fish in it. Ha ha ha. Like, how's that going to do anything? And Jesus is like, awesome. And he takes it. He said, have all the people sit down in groups. Jesus took the 5 loaves and fish and he looked up to heaven and it said he gave thanks and he blessed it and he broke it and he started giving it out to the disciples. And this is how it went down. Jesus breaking bread and breaking fish. And he's like, here, Peter, you take it to the group over there. Andrew, you take it to the group over there. James and John, if you can all stop arguing, you can take it over there. Judas, make sure you get it to those people. Like, he's dishing out food. And they keep coming back. And they go give it out. And they come back. There's still people. And Jesus is like, I got more for you. And this went on. How long do you think it would take to feed 20,000 people? A long time. And you know what was even cooler than that? It says they ate as much as they want, and there were 12 baskets of leftovers. Now in this story, there's two different perspectives. The disciples, they were focused on buy. Send the people into the village to buy their food. We don't have enough money to buy them food. Go send them in so they can buy food. They were focused on buy, but Jesus was focused on bless. You feed them. The disciples were focused on cost. We have to work for months. But Jesus was focused on provision and giving. What do you have? See, the disciples had a scarcity mindset. They were looking at the situation through a scarcity lens. And you know, often in life, we look through this same lens, not just in the area of our finances, but we can have a scarcity lens as we look at the relationships. I don't have enough friends. We can have a scarcity mindset as we look at our schedule. I don't have enough time. Maybe even your job opportunities, your future. I don't have enough skills. I don't have enough resource. I don't have enough creativity. See, the scarcity mindset affects us in different areas of life. And see, if we're not careful, if when we see not enough, if all we see is not enough, if we're not careful, that can turn into a scarcity mindset, that can turn into a scarcity cycle in our life. And this is how the scarcity cycle works. We have a need, whatever that need is. And we're like, God, I don't have enough. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough time. And then God miraculously supplies. But then what happens is we consume what God supplies. And after a while, we start to lack again because we've been consuming what God supplied for us. And then we're in lack and then we start to become fearful and anxious and we start freaking out. So what do? We medicate by going shopping or buying more things or whatever it is. And the cycle goes on and on and on. Anybody relate? I don't know, I do. It's just like, whoa, that's like too close for comfort there. And you know what? Even if you're thinking, you know what? I don't have a problem with this. I don't have a scarcity mindset. I want to invite you. Just take a moment. Just ask God. God, am I actually thinking right about money, about possessions? Am I thinking right about relationships? Am I thinking right about my time? Am I thinking right about the skills you get? Am I thinking right about what's possible? See, the disciples weren't thinking right. And see, if we're not thinking, if we have a scarcity mindset in one area of life, it's probably affecting the other areas of our life too. And we just don't realize it. I see the disciples, they weren't thinking right about the situation. All they could see was reality. 5 loaves, 2 fish, not enough. But Jesus saw possibility. You know what Jesus saw? He saw something so different. He completely redefined what could be done with a little. And Jesus began to reveal that God's kingdom works differently than just what you see. In fact, Jesus revealed one of the greatest secrets of God's kingdom, and it's this. See, the way you bring God's kingdom, his abundance, into broken creation, which are whatever is not enough, whatever is lack. The way you bring God's kingdom of abundance into what's broken is through something called a seed. See, the disciples could only see need, but Jesus saw seed. 5 loaves, 2 fish, that is so insignificant. That's not going to do anything, but Jesus saw seed. And you know what? Seeds, when they're planted, they multiply and they become more than just what was in your hand. See, when something is too small to fill a need, turn it into seed. When something is too small for filling a need, turn it into seed. You don't have enough friends? Will you turn your life into the seed of friendship and you be a friend for somebody else? You don't have enough time? You take your time that you do have and you sow it as a seed and watch how God will open up your schedule for the stuff that you really long to do. There is so much. God's you studying. Some of you who are like, you're not convincing me and you know, I have the Bible. You go look in your Bible. Everything about God's kingdom is about seed. Everything about God's kingdom is about seed. And see, scarcity mindset says, what can I afford? But abundance says, what seed do I have? See, scarcity holds on. I think it's interesting that scarcity sounds a lot like scared. Isn't that true? See, what is the natural human tendency when we see not enough? We go, mine, hold on to it. Gotta make it work, gotta make it stretch. In this story, there were two really important things that Jesus revealed. Number one, Jesus modeled how abundance is supposed to work in humans. God's abundance is to bless others. That's how God originally, when he wired us with this thing for abundance, that abundance was meant to be a vehicle or a way to be able to release God's blessing to the world, God's blessing and his provision into creation. That's how it was supposed to work. And see, Jesus was the perfect human. And how abundance works in non-broken humans is called generosity. That's how it works. And see, the disciples, they were just focused on send them away, let every man take care of himself. But Jesus, he was focused on something different. He was like, you feed them, guys. And you know, I honestly think this is why Jesus, you know what? Jesus could have easily waved his magic wand and poof, fed everybody at once. Yes? He could totally do that. It's like everybody has food at the same time. That would have been a lot more cost effective in terms of time. That would have saved a lot of time. He could have gone to the beach earlier. He could have gone and left the people. He could have gone on healing more people. It just makes more sense. Why not just take care of it all at once? But no, Jesus, he broke it and he kept giving it out to disciples and they come back and he kept giving it out and he kept giving out. What was he doing? So Jesus understood. He says, listen, guys, I need to teach you what it feels like to be generous. I need to show you what it feels like to give. Man, if you are going and coming back and forth, and you're doing that, feeding like up to 20,000 people, I think you kind of have a really good generosity muscle developed after a while. Wouldn't you? And the disciples are starting to get a feel for it. It's like, oh, this feels kind of good. I'm giving out, and I get to give more. I give out. And they'd never seen anything like this before. So Jesus modeled how abundance is supposed to work. It's supposed to be for blessing others. Number two, and Jesus modeled that God is a God of abundance. There were leftovers. Like, not just a basket. We're talking 12 baskets of leftovers. Each of the disciples could take one home. But why? You know what? Jesus could have easily, I mean, he's God. He could have made it exact to the money. In fact, that would have been kind of cool. Everybody had exactly enough and nobody was lacking. How fun is that? That would have been cool. But no, there were leftovers. Why? Because Jesus was revealing to people, not just the disciples, he was revealing to humanity a new picture of God, that God is a God of abundance. And see, as Jesus followers, we don't serve a scarcity God, we serve a God of abundance who wants to start an abundant cycle in us. Why does he want to start an abundant cycle in us? Well, that's a way we can reflect God's abundance in his character. So we can reflect who God really is to a world that misunderstands God. See, that we can reflect God isn't a God of abundant forgiveness. God is a God of abundant provision. God is a God of abundant grace, abundant kindness, abundant mercy. But it's also, God wants to start an abundant cycle in us because that's the way we can actually begin to live out our purpose as human beings, which is to reflect God's character and nature into the world to fulfill our original mandate of be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. How will we be able to do that if we don't live in God's abundance? See, how can we be the answer to the needs in our world if all we see is the not enough in our own life? Jesus did not come to this earth to die and save you from your sins. He came to this earth to heal it, to restore it, and to make all wrongs right. And in order to accomplish that mission, he would need to turn human beings into who they originally were created to be. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, tip of the iceberg. Your purpose of being a true human being is what he died for. God, how can we be the answer to the needs in our world if all we see is not enough? Or if we're still living as broken humans, accumulating instead of allowing God's abundance to flow through us? How does God start the abundance cycle in our life? Go ahead, media. You can put up. There's a comparison here. We already looked at the scarcity cycle, but this abundance cycle is a completely different cycle, but it starts the same way. Both the scarcity cycle and the abundance cycle start with need. There is a need. In the scarcity cycle, God supplies, and I think, yay, this is for me. But the abundance cycle starts with when God supplies, I recognize it as seed. This is seed. And see, when Paul, in the scarcity cycle, after this is for me, I go out and spend it. But in the abundance cycle, it sows. And see, Paul explained more about this aspect of how seeds work. He said in 2 Corinthians 9, he said, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. For God, who gives seed to the farmer to plant, and later on good crops to the harvest. Notice God gives seed to the farmer. Another version says he gives seed to the sower, not the consumer, the sower. But he will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. Yes, God will give you so much so that you can give away much. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving and praise to how awesome of a person you are. Aren't you generous? No. That's what accumulation is. I got a lot of stuff. I'll just give you some and I'll look good. But abundance? God, I want to honor you. This is about you getting thanks. This is about you getting praise. This is about people going, ooh, look at how rich you are. Look at how you are. Oh, man, they're awesome. No, this is about God getting praise, God getting glory, God being honored. See, God gives seed to the sower, the one who's willing to sow it, wait, and trust. Because the abundance, when the seed comes, it's about you sow it, but then you got to wait and trust. Versus scarcity, there's this lack that produces fear. Abundance has multiplied return, but scarcity just medicates. See, so much of God's kingdom is counterintuitive to the way we think in this world. And that's because our thinking is broken. We need it renewed with God's truth. See, Jesus said things that didn't make sense at all. It's like, if you want to find your life, you've got to lose it. If you want to be first, you've got to be last. And this whole principle of sowing is one of the greatest paradoxes in Scripture. See, the question is, when we see not enough, will we trust God to enable us to see differently? To see the not enough as seed, to sow it, and then to wait in trust, to sow it into God's hands so that He can bless it, He can break it, He can multiply it, so that the abundant cycle, the 12 baskets of leftovers, can start in our life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in scarcity. I don't want to see need and think, man, I wish I could do something about that. Man, I wish I could help. Man, I wish I could do more. Man, I wish, you know what, if we can, as God's people, get this abundant cycle working in us and working properly, man, you know what, I think we'd have the whole world saved in like 30 days. I want to invite you to stand, and I want to pray. I want you to close your eyes, and I simply want you to ask God, this is just a simple question. God, am I thinking right about money, about possessions, about more? Or have I mistaken the abundance that you have and want to give me, and I've just been accumulating? And I thought, wow, life's good. God's blessed me. God's blessing is never blessing unless it gets through you. We take a step towards trusting God today. And again, the abundance that God has, it's so much more than material provision. It's the abundance of God's grace. It's the abundance of His provision and whatever that is in your life. Maybe that provision is freedom. God wants you, doesn't just want you kind of going two steps forward and one back and trying. God wants to bring abundant freedom to your life, abundant life. Will you trust God that He has more love, more acceptance, more significance, more purpose than you could design on your own? And you know what? Some of you today, God is inviting you to sow a seed of trust, and that seed is your life. And He's asking you and inviting you, will you trust me by giving me your life? Will you let me take your life? Will you give me your life? Will you allow me to make it into something greater and multiply it? Something so much more powerful, something so much more influential, something so much greater than what you could ever do out of your own strength and devising and creativity. Will you trust God with your life and say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you? You know, we're going to pray a prayer out loud right now together. And if you're watching online, I want to invite you. You can pray this prayer with us as well. But some here, it's today is your day to put your life into the hands of Jesus Christ and say, God, I trust you. I believe that there is another reality. I believe that your kingdom here on earth is something that's greater, and I want to be a part of it. I want to walk in it. I want to walk out my purpose. Let's pray together out loud. Say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you have accomplished through your life and death and your resurrection. Thank you for the new reality of new creation life that you started. And I say yes. I believe this is real. I want my life to be a part of it. And I say yes to following you and living in this reality. Thank you, Jesus, for a new start today. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give Him praise.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. And we look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.